You know, my brother Chuck was talking about the things of the world and the richness of the ruler. I thought about how many things does money open up to you in this world? Think about it. How many opportunities do you have to enjoy this world with money? It's a lot of opportunities. How much power can you accumulate in this world based on money? A lot of power. How much authority can you gather up by having the riches of this world? A lot of authority. And when does that power and that authority and that wealth cease? It ceases when you die. And it's good for nothing, really. If you look at Christianity, it is a paradox to some extent. Because Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And that is exactly opposite of the way the world would think of things. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And he also said that blessed were the poor because they had the gospel preached to them. You know, how much wealth do you consider the Spirit? And how many opportunities does that kind of wealth afford you? Spiritual wealth. How much authority does spiritual wealth afford us? How much power does spiritual wealth afford us? Much more, and it looks way different than the wealth of riches of the world. Amen. And it does not, however, stop when you die. Y'all see the point? Boy, that'd be a good sermon, wouldn't it? Think about it. Study about it. I would like to continue a little bit, maybe not exactly, or staying in Romans anyway, but I'd like to continue with chapter 12. We didn't get very far in chapter 12 last time, but I'd like to continue on with it a little bit, talking about the body of Christ and what that means. And I'm going to read some. Paul says, "And be not," in verse 2, "and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Y'all get that? Not everybody's going to be the person that preaches. Not everybody's going to be the person that everybody goes to for financial assistance. Not every person's going to be the person that fills the preacher's water cup up every Sunday. Not every person is going to be the person that changes the flowers or paints the walls or cleans the church or mows the grass. Not every person is going to be the person that is a deacon. Not every person is going to be the one that leads singing. Not every person is going to be, but you all are members one of another. Not only are you members one of another, but you're members of Christ. Think about that. Every one of God's children are one of His members. That means a part of the body. And yet the body has members. You get that? Every one of us in particular are members of Christ. Parts of Him. Him being the head, if He is your head. And every body, every local body of believers has members as well. And they're members one of another. I think you could look at most scriptures that talk about the church, and you could readily see how that each one of them is very close to the other. And I think, this is what I think that over the years, we have become disconnected with one another. And I think probably it's because of the distractions of life. You know, I work with kids, and you know, when they... Sometimes when you have a child that's uncoordinated and kind of stumbles over his own feet and doesn't really... isn't able to keep things together, is kind of disorganized and kind of... Well, I don't want to go into a long list of symptoms, but when you have a child that can't really, doesn't have good coordination and stuff like that, and you ask them to draw a picture of themselves, sometimes they will draw a head over here, an arm over here, and a body down here, and feet over here. And it's just kind of strange. But you put that into perspective and you can realize that they don't really have a sense of where they are in space. It's called spatial relations. So that, some kids, they walk and they can't really perceive where things are, and they don't really know where their leg is in relation to the table, and they might run into the table. Or they might bump into things or trip over things that would be readily seen by you and I and perceived by you and I. And so those kids that I consider, this a word I call, is disconnected. They don't really have a sense of purpose or a sense of being, a sense of where they are. Now, you take somebody that's organized and on a regular, normal, quote, normal, typical situation of a child, and you that, you know, can speak well and get along real well and all that, and you ask them to draw a person of themselves, and their head is where it should be, their neck is even, you know, the details make all the difference in the world. And they draw the body and the arms and sometimes even an elbow and hands and feet and legs and eyes and hair and even maybe a round eye. And you know, they've got it going on. They understand how the body is put together. And I'm not so worried about those kind in a therapy situation. I'm not real worried about them, but the ones that are disconnected, those are the ones that I worry about. Those are the ones that I see in therapy. So, the point is, we are all members one of another. And we are connected under one head. And the head is Jesus Christ. The head is not the preacher or some distant hierarchical system. The head is Jesus Christ. And every church ought to be autonomously positioned under that head, not any other. I could say a lot about that further, but I'm not. Time's a waste. Paul says that, and Paul really talked about this in terms of the church, the local body of believers. He says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." And then he goes in to talk about the gifts of the church, the gifts of the members, the gifts, the particular gifts of every person, or as an example. And he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace. He said differing according to the grace. Not that they're the same. According to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. That doesn't mean just sit and wait on it. That means to serve it, like a waiter does at a restaurant. He serves you. Let us serve and be about the business of serving our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, or that means hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, and all, and so on and so on. And Paul continues this after he wrote this. He wrote it also in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Not only Romans, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what I want you to see in this is that we're not, you know, it's been said no man is an island, you know, out there all by yourself and all that. And I'll say in the church it's that way too. You don't want to be disconnected from each other, or disconnected from the church. Because I have a part that's disconnected off of me. You know, it happened a little over a year ago when it still hurts. It still bothers me. I still, you know, it was dumb. It was a dumb thing I did when I cut that tip off of my thumb. Hurt. Still does. It's numb still. Oh, it's functioning. I can still button a button, but it took me a long time to learn how to do that. So we don't want to be disconnected from one another, do we? We want to be connected where I know what's going on with you and your problems, and you hopefully know something about me. You know, the Bible speaks about getting to know them that labor among you. That's scriptural. I'm not just making that up. Now, Paul is telling these Corinthians, because they desired gifts. They thought it was a great gift to be able to both speak and interpret various tongues or languages. It meant that they, you know, that was a very, Corinth was a, the cultural center of that part, in that area. It was the higher learning, you know. They were big in that. It was not only a cultural center, but it was a great center for commerce. Had a lot of money over there. A lot of action, a lot of distractions. I just got back from Las Vegas and I asked one of the folks out there at the group that meets over there in Las Vegas, I asked him, I said, how do y'all get along with all these distractions? Because, you know, everywhere you go, there's lights and, you know, it's just a lot of busyness. And he says, Brother Paul, they're distractions just the same as you got distractions. They're just presented in a different way. And I thought, I guess if you grew up there, it would be, you know, it would be considered typical and normal. And that made sense to me. My distractions aren't in the form of a lot of lights flashing and a lot of business going on like that, but I've got plenty of distractions to keep my mind busy. No matter, I bet my mama's got distractions. I bet Sister Phoenix got distractions, you know. I bet Brother Howard and Sister Omega have distractions. I bet all of us have all kind of distractions, and they're in a little bit different form, but they're distractions nonetheless. So we can get distracted in any situation that we're in. The Corinthians, one of their distractions was commerce and much learning. The Apostle Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And I wouldn't have you ignorant either. That doesn't mean stupid. That means that without knowledge. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away with those dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. You know, that's pretty global, isn't it? Paul's opening this whole section that he's going to talk about by making a broad global statement that says no man can say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God but by the Holy Ghost. That's a broad statement, isn't it? Then he says, and no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. He said, now there are diversities of gifts. See this? Y'all think about this. There's all different kind of gifts, Paul says, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. What does that mean? He's talking about gifts, administrations, and operations. You think about it. Gifts is pretty broad. Those are graces given to you by God. There's different gifts. I've got a gift, and one of my gifts is to preach. I didn't get that on my own. If I am a preacher, God gave it to me. Y'all understand that. It's not something that I just got on my own. If I have the gift to give, I didn't get that on my own. That's not a natural thing for us to want to give. It's our natural bend is to hoard things, isn't it? It is. To be selfish. That's our natural thing. But Paul says that the gifts are from God. And then he says that there are differences of administrations. That means the way that things are done. The very base of the way that things are done. He said there's diversities in that. Differences in that. There's different kinds of services. And he said, and there's different kinds of operations. That means that's the end of the administration. I'm one administration for the church is to preach and to hear preaching. That's what it is. And there's differences of operations. At the end of this sermon, it might drive you to do something. The Holy Spirit, by His power, might convict you to give, I don't know, something. Or to look on a sick person and to help them. To be hospitable. I don't know. That would be the operation. That would be the end. You know, that word administrations is diaconesis or something. It means a deacon. There's differences of administrations. Think about all the things that a deacon does. And he's, that's there's differences in the deaconing. And it's open to everybody. He says there's differences of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Have you noticed something? Paul says there's some differences, yet there's one underlying common factor. And what is that? God, the Lord, and the Spirit. And these three are one. Right? That's the same thing. That's the bond that holds all of these things together. And he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What does that tell me? That there is some profiting that is to be had by being born of the Spirit and having the Spirit dwelling in your hearts. There's some profit to be had for that. And he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. How many of y'all could profit by wisdom? I could profit by wisdom. It might not be the wealth kind of profit, but even that, even naturally, you're going to profit by wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that one person has faith and it doesn't, and another one is void of it. That means, have you ever known some people? I have, that in the very worst of adversity, in the very worst of situations, their faith grew and they exercised it, and it was stronger than you could ever imagine. And you wonder, how are you holding up? How are you dealing with this problem? You know, I saw a sign that said God gives or delivers His biggest battles to His greatest soldiers. I thought that was pretty good. I don't know that it's always true. But I thought, in principle, I thought, you know, that might be all right. He gives His biggest battles to His strongest soldiers. He's certainly not going to put you as a novice in the heat of the battle without first equipping you with what you need to fight it. Amen? Amen. God's not going to stick you out there just as a pawn. So the Apostle Paul's talking about differing gifts. What's yours? What's mine? I'm administering my gift at this very moment. But I'm not the only one with gift in this church. There are several gifts, and I would say that I don't have it counted the people here today, but however many people there are today, that's how many gifts, at the very least, that this church has. The very least. Now, I want you to think. I want you to think about yourself. And I want you to think about how God has blessed you. I want you to think about what gift you have naturally. I mean, do you have the means to do a particular thing? That's just like, I'll use him as an example. I hope you don't mind. Brother Jared had a friend that we needed a limb to be taken off up here. And Brother Jared said, I know a guy. And so he exercised that. And that was great. I appreciate that. It's been several years ago. Somebody else, said, the church needs this. And I'll give you another example. We were talking about how we needed to repair our roof one time. And then we had some members from Raleigh Church come down here. And guess what? It wasn't long after that, we got a check from Raleigh. That was perceptive, wasn't it? That was an exercising of a gift. He took that need back there and we didn't ask him for that. He did it on his own. Aren't those the best kind of gifts? The ones that you don't ask for? Amen? What kind of gift did Jesus Christ give? Did you ask for it? No. He did it before you were ever even thought about it. It was in the mind of God way before the world began. And yet you are a recipient of the gift of God. And He being the head. Now, where does all the thoughts and intents of the heart come from? Comes from your mind. Comes from your head, right? Ultimately, all of the purposes that you set out to do, all the plans that you have are made from your head. And guess what? There's something called motor planning in my line of business, and it is comprised of three things. Number one, the first part of it is called ideation. That means you have to formulate the plan. You have an idea about it. Number two is the actual planning of the sequence of how it's going to get done. That's the actual motor planning part. And then the last part is called execution. Y'all understand that? I mean, I'll set up a little case study real quick to illustrate the point. I had a child one time, and I don't want to talk about my work, but this makes a lot of sense. I had a child one time that went up to a chair and he couldn't figure out how to do it. So he would walk around and he would put his knee up and maybe put his foot up in it. And one time he went from the back and tried to put his leg over that. Now, I know y'all haven't seen that usually. But I'm privy to all those kind of different things. Okay? That child had the good ideation. That means he knew that he wanted ultimately to sit down in that chair. But number two, and he could execute a variety of things. You see how execution wasn't his problem, really? But he had no idea of how to get it done. Y'all understand that? So that's what that looks like. You've got an ability to do it physically. I mean, he could try a variety of positions. He could physically do it, but he couldn't figure out how to get it done. We don't want to be like that as a church, do we? We don't want to be able to do something but not figure out how to do it. We don't want to have the idea of how to do it and know how to do it and not execute it, do we? That doesn't look very good. An example of that would be a child that knew what he wanted to do, could plan how to do it, and just couldn't get it done. I mean, he'd walk around the chair and look at it and just maybe go sit in another spot in the room and just look at that chair and really want to do it. Have the ability to do it, and yet couldn't execute what he thought was good and knew how to do. We don't want to be like that as a church, do we? Paul says, no. He says, you not only did you have the ability to perform it, you had the will to perform it, and you all actually performed it. That's what he told several churches. And the principle of it was that, but the actual part of it was giving to another church and things like that. So, that was a long illustration to say that God put in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Right? Did He not? I mean, the Bible says that He did to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if something pleases God, and you know it pleases God, you have the ability to do what pleases God. You know, I never heard preacher preaching like this when I was little. But that's okay. It's true. It's where the rubber meets the road. Paul says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. That means more than one, you know, dividing to every man severally. That means of one or more gifts. Or more than one gift. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular. You know, we can have a discussion of whether he's talking about the church mystical or the church local. I have a feeling that he's probably talking about the church local. I don't know. That's not my point. Now, I don't know that was Paul's point. What Paul's point is that wherever you're at, that you are together, and when you're together, you're Christ's. You are a representation of the body of Christ at that place. You know, Paul talked about the church which is in their house a lot of different times. That means, you know who makes up my church? Sonia and I. I ought to conduct my home like it is the church of God where I dwell every day. Am I successful in that? I'll say no. But our houses are that's where the very core is. And then one time a week, all those churches get together to make a little bit bigger one. And this is what we call the organized body of Christ in Lexington, Tennessee. Now, he says we're all one body. And he says even the least esteemed in the church have more abundant honor. What does that mean? You remember when I talked about Jacob and when he wrestled with the angel? And I walked and showed you the limp he had. You know, every time he took a step, it's right here. His sinews shrank and he walked with a limp every time. Every time he took a step, he thought about what the Lord did. And you know what? That member that he had, that was shrank, that sinew, that hip that he had that shrank, he probably needed a cane to help him, right? To prop him up. Have you ever thought about that's what the church is called to do? To help some of the members that are maybe more feeble or more needful. I mean, he goes on and talks about it. Because if there weren't any needy members, what would you do? What would you do as a church? That we should have that there be no schism in the body. but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. You know what the church is supposed to be for those that are hurting? It's supposed to be the cane that helps them walk. And maybe even the cast to keep them from being totally broken. You know, I heard an old preacher say, or heard it said, that it's kind of like an old barn that was leaning to the side. And where do you put supports under that barn? You know, you put them on the strong side, you're going to push it on over. But it needs propping up on the leaning side. Isn't that what we need? If there's somebody out there that's hurting or leaning, maybe about to fall over, church is supposed to prop them up on the leaning side. And we're members one of another. Not only are we members under the head of Christ, but we're members one another in particular. In particular. That means that all you out there are really supposed to help one another, aren't we? Aren't we supposed to help one another? Aren't we supposed to prop each other up on the leaning side? If I've got a problem, I hope you wouldn't rub salt in the wound, you know, and make it or rub it worse and make the infection worse like that. But that you would prop me up on the leaning side. And I guess we need to be more active in our perception of need. I'll say that's probably my worst thing. Me personally. It's one of my worst abilities, I guess. Maybe not an ability, but execution. Let me say, that's the part that I execute the least is my perception of need. But if any of y'all out there have a good perception of need, you can prop the church up on the leaning side by helping out because you're the eye. If somebody's an ear and they hear of a need out there, be the ear for the church. And if you have the ability to help, be the hands that do the helping. If somebody's down and needs an encouraging word, be the mouth. If somebody has financial need, be the bank. If somebody needs some help, maybe a little bit more than an encouraging word, be the feet and walk with them. Twain. You know, this Bible is full of instruction, isn't it? This Bible is so full of godly teaching about how we're supposed to live every day. May God, by the strength of His Spirit, give us spiritual perception. May He give us spiritual ideation, spiritual planning, and spiritual execution. And may we all feel connected one to another and not disconnected. The doors of this church are open for reception of members into this body. May the Lord bless you, as my